الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. الحمد لله، I spent three sessions taking a glimpse into the inexhaustible subject with regards to the awesome divine mercy. So to spend another session on this endless subject, another endless way that our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala has graciously bestowed upon us to forgive our sins is simply to start and end one's day with a good deed. In Tirmidhi, in the chapter on funerals, with a sahih chain of transmission, Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each time the two angels that keep record, alayhi salatu wa salam, of your deeds, take up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what they have recorded during the night and day, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds a good deed at the beginning and in the end of the person's sheet, he subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ushhidukum anni qad ghafarta li'abdi ma bayna tarafayis suhifa. I take you as witnesses that I, subhanahu wa ta'ala, have forgiven for my servant all the sins that he committed between the two extremes of his record. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So this is a flawless report, sahih, recorded by Imam Tirmidhi in the chapter on funerals. So simply put, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the daily record of your deeds are shown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith says, he finds a good deed at the beginning and a good deed at the end, he says, Ushhidukum anni qad ghaffarta li'abdi ma bayna tarafayis suhifa. I take you, I the angels, as witnesses that I have forgiven my servant all the sins that he committed between the two extremes of his record. Subhanallah. So what does this simply mean? It means if you start your day with a good deed, you wake up and you do some zikr, and you, the last thing you do is a good deed, all the sins in between are forgiven. Think about that. So a person goes, how is that possible? Don't try to use your reasoning. The Prophet told you in the Sahih Hadith, and this is a daily thing. Now question, what has a good deed got to do at the beginning and the end of the day to secure your forgiveness? Mm-hmm. It's got nothing to do with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened another avenue, mm-hmm, in which to secure the forgiveness of your sins. So how priceless, for instance, is the dua for waking up and the dua for going to sleep? You know, ask a person that. Say, brother, I've learned two duas. I've learned that the Prophet would say when he awoke, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Alhamdulillahilladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi nushur. All praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has brought me back from the dead and given me life. And I've also learned the dua for sleeping, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your name I live and die. I die and live. How priceless is that? Now how many brothers and sisters say to you, it's priceless. Why is it priceless? Because if you just say those two du'as, the first and the end of your day, everything in between is forgiven. Think about that. How merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the tragedy is, people go to sleep with sins. Imagine, the last thing they hear is music. And the first thing they hear in the morning is music. So note, this is another avenue which the Prophet graciously told us about, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, the best of all deeds is the sincere utterance of the Shahada. So where's the proof? The hadith is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Sahih Hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his noble companion, Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, because, O Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, whenever you commit a sin, make sure you follow it up with a good deed. It will erase the sin. So Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is La ilaha illallah a good deed? The Prophet said, it is the best of deeds. or Abu Dharr. So there's the proof. So La ilaha illallah, a sincere utterance with iman from the heart, this is the greatest of deeds. The Prophet told you that this in itself will take out any sin that you've committed prior to it. But Muhammad Masihullah Khan Sahib, rahmatullah, he said something so beautiful about this. In the work For Friends, volume 1, page 501 of the English translation. So quoting. Firstly, this kalima, in its pronunciation, is confined to the oral cavity. Hence, it has no affiliation with the lips. This is intimation that it is connected to that pure cavity, namely the heart. So let's break this down. What's the first thing he said? So, can Amr recite La ilaha illallah? Please recite it, Amr. Do you need to use your lips? No. Now keep your mouth open. Say La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. You don't need your lips. Why is that? The Shaykh said, because it's connected to the heart. Lip service, no good. Right? So La ilaha illallah is connected to the heart. That's the first thing he mentioned. Then he said, secondly, all its letters in Arabic have no dot. Whenever you see La ilaha illallah, there's not a single dot, either on the top or bottom. Why? And this is the intimation that one should have no association with anybody else. In making his dhikr, one should cut off all thoughts connected with anything else that is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no doubt. Meaning why? Allah Ta'ala wants you to focus upon his name. That's the second thing he mentioned about this beautiful phrase. Thirdly, the year consists of 12 months. And the kalima also has 12 letters in Arabic. This covertly implies that whoever recites this kalima with a heartfelt conviction will have 1 year's sins forgiven. So again, you ask somebody to write it in Arabic and you ask him, how many letters does La ilaha illallah have? He will say 12. So the Shaykh goes, is that a coincidence? No. 12 months in a year, meaning you utter it sincerely once, 1 year of your sins is forgiven. Fourthly, a full night and day has 24 hours. And this kalima, if combined with Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, contains 24 letters in Arabic. This intimates in the direction that the person who recites this full kalima once during the day and night, then each letter will be an atonement for the sins of each and every hour of the day and night. So now let me ask you a question. How do the ulama, how insightful are they? Ulama warithatul anbiya, in Abu Dawud, Hassan Hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the scholars inherit the prophets. You ask a person, brother, La ilaha illallah. Everybody knows that. Tell me something about it. It's the shahada. I didn't ask you to translate it. Just tell me something about it. Look at all the points the Shaykh has mentioned. Right? You're thinking, what? Subhanallah. Nothing to do with the lips. It's to do with the heart. All the Arab the letters don't have any dots. Significance. Don't associate anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 12 months. 12 letters. Sins forgiven for the entire year. One utterance. 24 hours. When Muhammad Rasulullah has added 24 letters, then come into play. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That will inshallah take away the sins of each and every hour of the day and night. Go back to the hadith. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to Abu Dharr? It is the best of deeds. Subhanallah. This is why in the glorious Quran, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says something very interesting. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah 23, verse 118. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأنت خير الراحمين. You subhanahu wa ta'ala are the best of all those who show mercy. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. You subhanahu wa ta'ala are the best of all those who show mercy. Think about that. People who show mercy, they are noble people. Who was the greatest in terms of from the creation? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we know? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The mercy to everything that exists. So it's not just something they've worked out. Allah Ta'ala has told you, He is the mercy to everything that exists. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But what does Allah the Almighty say of Himself? He says, وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. The best, the khair of all those who show mercy. Now it's your job to explain that. The person goes, can you, brother, accept that? I'm a Muslim. Could you give me a glimpse of His mercy? Play back the last four sessions. And this is just touching the tip of the iceberg. Can there be any more mercy than what Allah Ta'ala is showing to the creation? Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, he relates in his work, Virtues of Tawbah, page 11 and 12. He quotes one of the sheikhs, the Tasawwuf sheikhs, Sheikh Abdul Hayy Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say, consider the waste matter of 10 million people enters the ocean. And subhanallah, in a single wave that washes over it, no particle of that impurity, urine or stool remains. So let's break it down. Where does all the truck go? Right? It goes landfill. Where else does it go? You throw it in the ocean. So, Islamically, is the ocean pure? Yes. Why? Because of the vastness of the water. But look what he's saying. 10 million is even an example, obviously there's more. 10 million people's waste matter, imagine, feces, urine, you name it, is thrown into the ocean. How much is needed to purify the water? One wave. That's the first thing he says. Consider. The ocean is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is imbued with the strength and capacity to neutralize such immense quantities of impurity, which is granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus can it be conceived that a single wave of His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be sufficient to wipe out all of our combined sins. Subhanallah. This is how the Shuyu speak. You know, Masha, he's the most merciful. Thank you, brother. You give me translation. They're giving you examples. So if you know your fiqh, you know that if there's a vast quantity of water, it's pure. Once it's flowing, and it's a vast quantity, it's pure. You can do wudu next to a flowing river. What's incredible is somebody could be urinating upstream. The water is still pure, because it's flowing. So if that is just the nature of water, then what about the one who created the water? What about His wave of mercy? What will that purify? And the Shaykh says, one wave of His mercy is sufficient to wipe out all of your combined sins. Go back to the very first thing I mentioned four sessions ago. I do not mind. What did he say? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said in Tirmidhi, number 3540, Hassan, in As-Sahiha, number 127, O son of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, so long as you call upon me and ask of me, I shall forgive you what you have done, wala ubali, and I do not mind. Meaning, I don't mind you keep coming to me, I'll forgive you. But shaitan will make you despair if you haven't got knowledge. The Shaykh also went on to warn of a common grave slip. Now this is very dangerous and it's common amongst the ignorant masses. It's the same work, The Virtues of Tawbah, page 12. So he said, some people, they tend to say, we are sinful in the extreme. Both gunagaro. You heard that. Right? We are sinful in the extreme. How will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our du'as? Time and time again, our tawbah breaks. How then will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive? Have you heard these statements? Because forget about hearing it. I'm saying it. What's wrong with that? The Shaykh explained. Outwardly, it seems to be extreme humility for a person to say this as an expression of his unworthiness. However, Hakim al-Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahmatullah alayh, clarified that outwardly such a person appears to be humble, but in reality, it is the height of pride. So when you hear that, heart goes flying off. Hey, how can that be pride? I'm an extremely sinful person. How will my du'as get answered? Time and time I break my tawbah. He explains. How? For he is giving superiority to his sins over the loftiness and expansiveness of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who the hell are you, brother? Think about that. That's kufr. So your sins are greater than his mercy. I didn't say that. Well, you could have fooled me, brother. Let's clear back the tape. I'm a big shaitan. How will Allah ta'ala answer my du'as? You're giving the impression that your sins are greater than the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh said, based on this, I will give you a parable. So he's giving you a lesson now to explain this. A mosquito sat on the horn of an ox. So you got the male. A mosquito sits on his horn. And as it was about to fly off, the mosquito said, O ox, I have sat on your horn without your permission. So please forgive me. So you're with me so far, right? Mosquito sitting on the horn of the ox. Ox doesn't even know it's there. But then he goes, I've got a short respect. He goes, I'm sorry, ox. Look, I sat without your permission. The ox replies, neither was I aware of your coming nor your going. Had you not spoken, I would have been unaware of the fact that you had come and gone. Then the Shaykh said, in the same way, the oceans of our sins in comparison to the ocean of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are absolutely insignificant. So what is the parable? Does an ox know that a mosquito sitting on his horn? I can't speak to an ox, but I don't think he does. Whether you talk or not, you're insignificant. When you start blurting out, I'm sorry, I should have got your permission. Go away. If you didn't talk, why are you talking? Because there's the insignificance of your silly statements to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm a big shaitan. May both gunagaru. Shut it. Right? Allah, and that's pride. You're showing pride to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note, we're children. Spiritual children. You don't even know that you're saying stupid things. In fact, somebody should slap you. Imagine, what are you slapping me for? Stuff. You probably have a go at the guy. Why do you slap him? He's in a state of utter humility. No, he's not. He's in a state of utter pride. Who the hell is he to make statements like that? But we're not arrogant. We humbly ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive us. So think about that. So note, all of this is something very important for us to register when it comes to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, he relates in his work Virtues of Tawbah, page 24. Sheikh Muhammad Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, he relates the following hadith, and I'll give you the reference. Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayh, in his Jami As-Saghir, volume 1, page 21. So he quotes this hadith. Our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا تَابَ الْعَبْدُ أَنْصَ اللَّهُ الْحَفَزَةَ ذُنُوبَهُ. When a servant repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the recording angels to forget. Then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the limbs with which those sins were committed also forget. The signs of the sin on the earth are eradicated to the extent that such an individual will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment in a state where he has no sins against his name. This is the hadith. So let's stop the quote. So he's quoted the hadith first. When you do tawbah, not istighfar, tawbah. you make a firm commitment never to go back. Completely everything's eradicated. Nobody is aware of the sin now except two. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you. Even the karam and qatimin think you're awliya. Right? The Shaykh then said, now this is a key point which is easily missed. Note that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even use the angels to wipe out the signs of our sins, but has attributed the act of wiping out the sin to himself by saying, Ansallahu, meaning Allah ta'ala will make them forget. What is the wisdom in this? Look at these points that you miss. When you ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels eradicate the sin. When you do tawbah, he doesn't do it. Allah ta'ala says, I'm doing it. Because why is he not letting the angel do it? The Shaykh continues. Namely, so that on the day of judgment, the angels do not have the opportunity to gloat over us and say, you were an unworthy wretch who benefited by our wiping out your sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner thus saves his servants from being obligated to the angels alayhi salatu wasalam, and also protects the honor of his servants. Subhanallah. Think about that. Why? Because the angels, we know they're sinless, but they would think, well, yeah, he did tawbah, but he would committed that sin for 40 years. Allah Ta'ala goes, wipe out. He doesn't want them to have glow over you. Look at the deep mercy now being shown. Then the Shaykh said, no king has ever passed or will come who not only pardons those who are sentenced to death, and also thereupon commands the destruction of all the files compiled against them. Worldly rulers simply cannot do this. Even if an amnesty is granted, the record of their crimes are kept on the computers in the record department of the court. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the other hand, forgives his servants to such a degree that all the files, all the records are wiped clean. All witnesses are made to forget their evidence. Thus consider how kind and generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Where can the rulers of the world ever compare in their grace and kindness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What splendor is possessed by the King of all kings? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bole bahali musalman. Quote that hadith. Say, brother, have you heard this hadith? Can I relate it to you? Go ahead, brother. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a servant repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the recording angels to forget. And he continued with the hadith. Because did he get it, brother? Did he get that fine point? Because what fine point? Alhamdulillah, that Allah has made everybody forget. But you missed it. Who's wiped out the sin? Then he goes, where's the angels? No, you wasn't listening. إِذَا تَابَ الْعَبْدُ أَنْ صَلَّاهُ حَفَزَتَ ذُنُوبَهُ. When a servant repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the recording angels to forget. They're not even involved with tawbah. Meaning you're now dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do tawbah, istighfar, they're still registered. They're doing the wiping out. But if you want that special compassion and mercy, tawbah. And the Shaykh, look at the beautiful example he gives. It's impossible to do that on the earth. You can't do that. That's not a human trait. I can forgive, brother, but how am I going to forget? You know, I can forgive you. I won't bring it up again. But I can't tell you I've wiped it out from my memory. Unless there's something wrong with me. Because you're not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala completely eradicates it. And the amazing thing is, you can die on your deathbed according to your recording angels as a saint. But you are far from it. Think about that. They're thinking, subhanAllah. Imagine, you do tawbah maybe a day before you die from everything. And you're on your deathbed. All the recording angels have got is all your good deeds, no sins. And they're thinking, subhanAllah, we were joined to some great saint. They don't know. Allah Ta'ala has done it himself. He's wiped everything out himself. Who else witnesses to your crimes? Your limbs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that you will be silenced and your own body will testify to your sins. Think about that. Allah ta'ala makes your body forget. Imagine every organ of your body is awliya. And you're thinking. That's what you think. Right? My tongue was awliya. You must be kidding me. My private parts won't even go down that path. Right? All of them become awliya. Who's made you awliya? Touch us up. Right? And that's because of tawbah. Why do you think shaitan? And you the deed. He puts a little bit of effort on you. Because don't do it. Oh, you did it. You want to do tawbah, what happens? You can tell he sent the entire force. Stop this man from doing tawbah. Then what happens? You get 50,000 whispers from shaitan. If you shouldn't do tawbah. What are you doing tawbah for? You're going to go back to it. What's the point of doing tawbah? You're a hypocrite. What's all this? Because he knows once you do that, even he's going to forget about anybody else. So note here this beautiful hadith. Allah Ta'ala causes everything to forget, even the earth. If you read Surah Izaa Zulzilatil Ard, what does Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala say? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِعَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? If you're bothered studying Quran, but maybe you're busy with other things in it, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, when the earth is shaken in her last shaking, its final earthquake. Think about that. People say, the Pompeii earthquake. Don't worry about it. There's a big one coming. Worry about that one, right? The last earth, when the earth is shaken in the last shake, when the earth brings forth its burdens, and man asks, what is this? On that day it will proclaim its tidings, for your Lord will have inspired it. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? It's Qiyamah. The earth is now throwing out its secrets. Man sees the earth throwing out its secrets. And he goes, what is this? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have inspired the earth to speak. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith in Tirmidhi, authentic, the earth will testify against your crimes. When you commit a sin, you are aware that your two feet is touching the earth. The earth will testify. This big shaitan, he committed this sin here, 25 years. Your body testifies, imagine. I second it. Legs, arms, head, brain, everything. Hair on your head. Everybody's testifying against you. And then you get some crackpots. They go, oh no, what if you're in space? Right? You know, I don't know what planet these people are on. How did they get in space? With a spacecraft. What's spacecraft made of? The earth, mashallah, use your akal, right? So Allah Ta'ala, everything, but what will make all of that to forget? Imagine all the places on earth that's cursing you. This shaitan's gonna come back to me, he's gonna do it again. Don't you want that earth to get wiped out? Ya Allah, wipe it out. It's in your hands, you got the ability. Don't you want your body to think you're a saint? It's in your own court, the ball's in your court. When are you gonna do tawbah? You're going to procrastinate, right? I'll do it next year. As if you got a guarantee, astaghfirullah. So note the beautiful thing when you do tawbah. I mentioned a few nights back, istighfar and tawbah, the difference. Istighfar is amazing. Allah is so kind to us. People can do istighfar for you. Think about the angels are doing istighfar for us, alhamdulillah, alayhi salatu wasalam. When you die, people will do istighfar for you. Can they do tawbah for you? No. Angels can't do tawbah, your sons can't do tawbah for you, your daughters, it's you have to do it. But when you take that bold decision, look at the beauty. And that's why immediately you can testify anybody who's done tawbah. Say, how did you feel after your tawbah? And they all say very interesting things. Because we feel light. We feel like there's a heavy burden that's been removed. There's some physical manifestation taking place. What's this heaviness that's been removed? The burden of sin. Allah Ta'ala actually makes you physically feel it. You feel light. Spiritually, also, people who suffer from depression. One of the shuyukh said they should do tawbah. Allah Ta'ala will take away the depression. That's fascinating as well. People, you don't know what they're doing, committing all the sins under the sun. I'm depressed. Well, I'm not a scholar of the heart, brother, but you've got a few problems, haven't you? So how do we do tawbah? Tawbah we should do for all our sins. But a good starting point with regards to those sins, you can easily stop. Think about that. Obviously the big ones we strive towards, but little ones you can do immediately. For example, you can do tawbah that I will not swear anymore. That's something easy. Right? Backbiting may be more difficult. You can work up to that. But these little steps, Allah Ta'ala, look how pleased He becomes. I mentioned it so many times. He becomes more pleased than when you are about to die. And then the last moment, your transport and food and drink comes back to you. And you say out of joy, "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are my servant. I am your Lord." Meaning he even gets messed up with his tongue. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he didn't mean that. He's just so happy it comes out wrong. Allah Ta'ala is more pleased when you do tawbah. So isn't it our lifetime's ambition and aim to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Isn't that the most important thing in our lives? There is no greater way to please Him than tawbah. Think about that. Salat, mashallah. Fasting, mashallah, mashallah. Have you done tawbah? That's what He's created you for. Why? Because angels, they don't do tawbah. Has Jibreel done tawbah? From what? Alayhi salatu wasalam. He's sinless. So think about that. So note very important aspects that we to focus upon, and inshallah giving you some incentive to take that path. So all I mentioned today was again the endless subject of the divine mercy. And whatever aspects you look at, it blows you away. It literally blows you away. And it goes back to that verse, وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. You are the best of those who show mercy. Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah 23, verse 118. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى من شهدان جيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات والتواصوا بالحق والتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.